Turn your Bibles to Titus. Titus chapter 2. We're going to look at some scripture in Titus chapter 2. I had him put up on here the perfect church member. I want to spend 4 weeks talking about the perfect church member. And if you're scared about that, just hold on. All right? There's a lot of time over the last 3 years that I've said, if you want to join this church, you want to be a part of First Baptist South Lebanon, there are how many people sit or watch online and think, what does that mean to live a godly life? Where's your biblical reference there? What does God's word say about living a godly life? And I want to take some time today to examine that and to kind of just challenge us, because sometimes we go through life and there are things that happen. We get busy. We get things that we put into our bag of life that distract us from the real things that God has for us. And I want to focus back down here in the book of Titus chapter 2, and we're going to read these scriptures together. If you've found it, I gave you a little bit of time. If you found it and you want to join with me in standing and reading God's word, if you're able to do so, I invite you to do that. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works." Will you pause and pray with me? God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenge that we have before us today. I thank you, God, for the believers in the room. I thank you for those watching online. I thank you for those who are searching or seeking. What does this Christian life mean? I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would just convict and draw us to surrender to you. I thank you for your word that challenges us to live a godly life and to get rid of the godlessness in our lives. I pray, God, that today your Holy Spirit would convict like only you can, draw us to surrender to you, and help us, God, to leave challenged and renewed and refreshed and ready to live for you today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As you're seated, I just want to get on this topic of what God's word says there. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age. We're challenged to live a godly life, to get rid of godlessness and worldly lust and to live sensible, righteous, and godly way. When I challenge you, when I say, a member here at First Baptist, live a godly life, attend services, give faithfully, and serve, find a place to serve. It's living a godly life. What does that mean? I want us to think this through today. The grace of God appeared, and it is teaching us to live in a godly life, get rid of the ungodliness in our life. There are a couple things in your notes. If you follow along in the app or if you want to write some notes down, there's this call to godliness that I believe we have, that God's grace saves us and transforms us. And when we accept his gift of salvation, it showed us there. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. This salvation is not the end. It's the beginning of godly living. When you came to the knowledge of Jesus, when you realized that Jesus paid the price for your sin and you accepted him as your Lord and as your Savior, you believe what he did on the cross, and he took your sin and your shame and he nailed it to that cross and he saved you for all eternity. It's the beginning of your godly life, that you, from that point on, where your desire is to live a godly life, to be like him. Godliness is not optional. I think sometimes we think that this is optional, that this, like, maybe I should do good, maybe I should live a godly life, maybe I should follow these things. It's not optional. We're commanded to. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Be holy as I am holy." Holy, set apart, different, that God wants us to live a godly life. There are things that I brought this bag up here as like we go through life, and a lot of times we have things in our bag of life, if you will. We're going through and we have stuff that we pile in and stuff that happens to us, and we respond to life a certain way. And there's a lot of times where we're lugging this heavy bag filled with stuff that has happened to us, or stuff, ways that we respond to things, or things that we've allowed to creep into our lives. The things that the godlessness, the ungodly things, and then there's the godly stuff. And when you think about it, there's a lot of stuff that could fill it, right? So we have like sin that weighs us down, and we pile this in. This sin comes in a lot of different things can pile on in this category. And I don't have enough room, and I don't have enough books in my office to put every single thing. Selfishness, pride. But sin, we allow sins to creep into our bag, and it fills us up, and it's heavy, and it hurts, and it keeps us from that, what the scriptures are telling us, this godly life. There's another one of pride that creeps in. Well, if I admit these things, if I know that there's these problems in my life, and we pile these in, this prideful selfishness, arrogance. We put that in our bags, and it weighs us down, and it keeps us from the things of God, from godliness. We pile in things like pride, like selfishness, like anger that can pile in, and the bag gets so heavy. What happened when I took all those things, I only had room for those three. But there's a lot more in our heads, right? But what happened to my bag when I took those things out is it got so light. It got so much lighter. And when I think about what God does when we transition, when we do this transfer from pride and anger and arrogance and sin to the grace of God, that he provides us with this forgiveness and this holiness, this difference that God wants us to be. We have to willingly say, God, I'm giving you this sin. I'm giving you this anger. I'm giving you this self-centeredness, this impatient, angry person. And I want you to make me into something different. I want to represent you. And so when we take those things out of our life bag and we start piling in the things that God wants us in there, I want us to look and to see, what does it mean? What types of things would we replace those with? And when you see in the scripture there, this call to godliness, that God's grace saves us and transforms us, and he challenges us to be holy, to be different. It's this, the Christian life is this pursuit of Christ-like character, of taking these things out of our bags and putting this other stuff in, godliness stuff. So what characteristics would we fill our bag with instead of those things? In Galatians chapter 5, flip over there with me. Galatians chapter 5, there's a couple of verses I want to read. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I want you to listen real, real close to the fruit of the Spirit. And you think, wow, I read this verse as fast as I possibly can because it's really easy to read. But I want you to slow it down, and I want you to think real practical with me. If I've got anger, if I've got sin, if I've got pride, if I've got selfishness, if I've got arrogance, all of these things that are keeping me from godliness, then I'm going to replace them with what? Look at Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see how these things don't line up with these things? It's common sense, but it's also a humongous challenge. When you understand that God's word is challenging us, is calling us to something different than these things, when you find yourself always angry and you find yourself prideful and putting yourself above everybody else, and you find yourself with sins that just won't go away that you repeatedly do, and you think, why is my life like this? Why do I allow these things to capitalize and just to dominate my time and my thoughts? And the way that I respond to people is filled with these things that I've put in my bag over years and years and years. And God's saying, hey, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. When you stop and you evaluate your life, Are these the things that you've been shoving in the bag and holding on to for a long time? Or are these the things that you wake up and say, God, fill me with your love, fill me with your joy, fill me with your patience, with your peace, with your kindness. Help me to be kind to people. Help me to be loving to people. Help me to show your love to a lost and dying world around me. The characteristics of a godly life, what we're saying when we say live a godly life, are these things: to have love for people, to have humility, to have patience when someone does something or says something that you don't like, to have purity, to have self-control. Godliness affects everything. It affects how we think. It affects how we speak. It affects how we act. It affects how we relate to other people. So if we were to ask your family, what types of things are in your bag? And they respond with, well, my dad's an angry person. He's prideful. I never see him. He's so selfish. Or there's things, would your family respond with, man, they're so loving. They're so kind. They're so patient. I think of my grandma often. And in this godliness, I don't know how she dealt with me. As a kid, I don't know how she survived it. I was loud. She would often tell me, Jeremiah, you hurt my hearing. And she would just, you hurt my hearing. You talk all the time and you talk loud. I just remember those things as a kid. She had such patience. It's because I was off the walls and I was crazy and I had so much energy and I was loud. And when you stop and you think, what kind of things in your life are you showing? What kind of characteristics are coming out in the way that you live, the way that you talk, the way that you act, the way that you interact with your family? True godliness, listen, produces spiritual fruit. Not just religion. I'm talking spiritual fruit. So in your life, when you live, when you do things, when you interact with people, are the fruits of the Spirit coming out in the way that you live, in the way that you talk, in the way that you act? Would your family say, these are the kind of things that you're showing, the characteristics that you're revealing? Would your closest friends point to these types of things, or would they point to these types of things and say, well, here's some things they got to work on because they've been filling this bag with anger and selfishness and pride and hurt, and there's all kind of sin, and the way that you respond to people is really bad. If you stop and you just ask the people who are close to in your life, give me a real evaluation of how I act, how I talk, how I live. Am I living a godly life? If you, on an individual level, if we all today stopped and just thought about the bag that we're carrying, what kind of things are we filling in that bag? Would it be from the verses that we just read? Love, man, I'm loving, kindness, goodness, peace, patience, faithfulness. All these things matter. And as a Christian, when you evaluate yourself, these characteristics of a godly life are not just optional. These are things that God's saying, I want you to show in your life. I want you to live this way. I want you to be different, to be holy as I'm holy. So we remove these things in our lives and we think and we consider and say, God, help me to replace these things with the things of your word, that your Holy Spirit would lead me to be this kind of person, a person of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Amen.
God, help me to be that and not this. Because when the longer we hold these things in our bag and the longer we weigh ourselves down with anger and sin and pride and all of these things, the further we get away from what God has for us, and we miss opportunities. How many opportunities have you missed to show God's love to somebody, to show his kindness to somebody? Maybe God had orchestrated these moments that you could share, that you could show, that you could be there for somebody, and you missed it because you allowed anger and you allowed pride and you allowed sin that just weighed you down, and you said, I don't have time for that right now. I already did my time on Sunday, God. But God's saying, I want you to be different. I want you to show these characteristics in your life. That we gotta be living a godly life. The challenge to godly living is this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I want you to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's just one page back. First five verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. It describes in detail what we're going through today. The challenge to taking these things out of our bag and filling them with the fruits of the Spirit is right here detailed for us in first five verses of chapter 3. Listen to what it says. It says, but you know this, hard times will come in the last days. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people, that verse says. If that's not convicting, if you can't find one thing in there that maybe you've shoved in your bag at some point, I think you need to stop and reread. I think you need to stop and pray and say, God, help me to not be this person. Help me to not live this life. But the challenge that we're faced with, that there's people all around us, and it describes them here, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Man, that our world is described here in the first five verses. And as Christians, the challenge for us in a world that is surrounding us with people like this, and God's challenging us to live the opposite of that. Man, how difficult is that? I found myself challenged to say, hey, be a member at First Baptist and live a godly life. Attend services, give, and serve. Living a godly life is a major thing, and it's what God's word is challenging us with, and He's prying on you, and He's pulling on you, and He's saying, don't be like this, but be like this. Be a representative for me. And the challenge that we're faced with in this world is so, so difficult. Because if you reread those and you think about the hard times that we're faced with, it's not, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, there were still things like this. But in today's world, we're faced with social media. It's covered on TV. It's everything. You can't even watch commercials with your children anymore because they throw this godlessness and things of this world, and they just try to pull us away from being and doing and saying and living the way that God wants us to. It's covered in everything. You can't watch a show. You can't pull up a movie unless it's a Christian movie. And they're just enamoring us with it. When you look at the scriptures, hard times are here, folks. We're surrounded with it. Lovers of money, boastful, lovers of self. Everything you see on TV, everything that you're hit with when you walk out of these doors is that you succeed, you be the best, you go to the top, whatever it takes to get over people, to beat people, to accumulate stuff, to be the best at everything, to just you elevate yourself. It's all pride and selfishness, and you can accomplish, you can gain stuff. When you look at Scripture and the challenge that we're faced with as Christ followers is that the world's promoting one thing and God's promoting something totally different. The world's hitting us with selfishness and sin and compromise and peer pressure and temptation, and the media's pulling us all different ways and promoting all of those things, and we have to choose to be different, to be set apart. And when we read Scripture that says, hey, here's the things that should be a part of your life. Here's the fruit that you should be bearing in your life. And then we read things like that. Man, this is tough. It's not just as simple as live a godly life. This is a daily battle to say, I'm going to remove these things. I'm going to pull these things out of my bag, and I'm going to replace them with the things that you want, God. God, I want you to fill me with your love and your patience and your peace and your kindness and your goodness and in everything, in my interaction with my family and my interactions at my workplace and my interaction when I walk out of the door at the end of the day. God, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want to be set apart. I want to be different. I want my words to be different. I want my actions to be different. I want my life to be a godly life. So how do we live a godly life every day? Well, it takes us some focus. It takes renewing your mind daily. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It takes praying continually, staying filled with the Spirit. God, help me to live a godly life. Help me to show the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Help me to be loving, to be kind, to be generous, to be patient. It takes surrounding ourselves with godly influence. You say, why is it important to be at church every week? It's important because you're surrounding yourself with godly people. You're encouraging one another. You're saying, hey, how'd you do this week? Hey, I'm struggling in this area. Would you pray for me? When you go to Bible study, it's not just to have a Bible study. You can do Bible study every day of the week, but it's surrounding yourself with people that are godly influence on your life, that hold you accountable, that say, hey, I've been seeing you showing some things like this, and I want to challenge you to be like this. Hey, when that person said that to you, you acted this way, but I want to challenge you to live differently, to act this way. God's word, it has a way of doing that when we surround ourselves with godly people and we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and say, hey, when you see something that's not right in my life, challenge me on it. Call me on it. Tell me that's not right. That's not how you should have responded. That's not how you should have acted. That's not how you should live. That's the way that we get better. Instead, we get mad. Somebody calls us on it. You're not being very loving. You weren't very kind to that person. Well, who are you to call me unloving and unkind? God's word's real clear on how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to treat people. We flee temptation and we pursue righteousness. We surround ourselves with godly people that are pointing us in the right direction. And then there's these rewards of living a godly life. Listen, all through Scripture, it tells us if we do these things, if we pull this stuff out and we put this stuff in and we say, God, I want to live for you and I want to be an example for you. I want to show love and kindness and patience. There's all kind of rewards in Scripture. Spiritual peace, spiritual strength. In Psalm 1, the first psalm there is, Psalm 1, first three verses. I want you to listen to what it says. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway with sinners. This is the stuff, right? Not walking with the wicked, not doing these things, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instructions. He meditates on it day and night. He's like a tree planted beside flowing streams, and it bears its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, as a Christ follower, as someone who has accepted God's gift of salvation, I want to do this. I want to take those things. I want to remove those things. I want to be happy. I want to let God fill me, and I want to let that overflow into every area of my life, the way that I live, the way that I talk, the way that I walk, the way that I respond to people, whether it's family, loved ones, enemies, people who I've never seen before. I want God to just overflow out of me, and I want what that verse said. There's like a tree planted beside flowing streams, bearing fruit. What fruit? We already talked about what fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Although, is that how you would describe your life when the rubber hits the road? Or are there times that we slip into these categories and we allow things to get this way and we respond to people this way because we've gotten far, farther and farther away from what God's word is telling us? How happy is the one who doesn't do those things but does what God wants? Whatever he does prospers, the second part said. And it's real simple. It's difficult, but it's real simple that God wants us to have these rewards of a godly life, to have spiritual peace, to have strength, to have a powerful witness to others. You think about when you fill your bag with these things and you have anger and you have pride issues and you have sins, and then you go and you live your life and people look at you and go, I saw you going to church last week, or you invited me to church last week, but then you're living this way. Flip that. And when you allow God's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness to overflow through your life, and then you invite somebody to church, your life is different. They see something in you. They see the way that you act. They see the way that you talk. And it's different than this. The world around us that we read about in those verses in Timothy, man, is challenging enough, and they're so distracted, and they're so off base, and they're so soaked in all of this stuff that as Christians, we have to marinate in God's word, and we have to allow his guidance and his word to overflow into our hearts and lives, and it has to impact the way that we live. It can't just be we came to church and checked the box. It has to be this, I want a godly life. I want to live a godly life. I want God's peace. I want God's strength. I want to be a witness for him. And so in every area, the way that I'm living, it has to be, I have to think about this. I have to calculate it. I have to seek God. Every day, God, help me to be a living example for you. Help me to fill my bag with your love, your kindness, and your peace and your joy, and help it to just overflow in every interaction I have today. What if we woke up every day and said that? God, I want to get rid of this stuff, and I want you to fill me with this stuff. That even through the difficulties, even through the painful things, even through health problems that we have, even through loss, we can say, God, give me direction today. Fill me with your love.
There you go.
Ultimately, James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will what? Draw near to you. And so every day of my life, what if this week, every person watching online and every person in this room, if we just said, God, I want to draw near to you this week. I want to point my attention to the things in my bag. Maybe you struggle with anger. Maybe you struggle with pride. Maybe you struggle with selfishness. Maybe you struggle with some sins. That every day I wake up and I say, God, here's the sins that I've been struggling with. God, here's the anger that I've been having. God, here's the problem. Here's the things that I've been shoving in this bag for far too long, and I want you to pull them out, and I want you to replace them with your love and your kindness and your peace and your patience. And God, I want you to guide me today in every word that I say, every step that I take, that I would honor you. I wonder if the spiritual fruit that would start forming would be completely different. I believe it would. I believe that God convicts us and draws us to surrender, and his Holy Spirit helps us and guides us. But we have to be willing to say, God, I see these things. I see the stuff that I've got in there that's wrong. But the problem is we shove it down often. We say, well, God, that only happens when I get really mad. Or God, that stuff, I've tried and I can't get rid of it. The Holy Spirit's the one that can help us. He's the one that can help us to overcome. He's the one that rewards us. For our heart gets pure and we say, God, I want to be closer to you. I want to listen to this challenge. So my challenge as we conclude this morning is this. So listen up. My challenge is that you would commit to say, God, I know that you're calling me to live differently. I want to reflect your holiness. I want to bear fruit for you. And so whatever that is, whatever those things are that have been in the bag, I wonder if in a moment you would just kneel at the altar or kneel at the pew where you're at or kneel on the couch at home and just say, God, here's some stuff that I've been piling in. He knows. But when you verbalize, you say, God, I'm giving it to you. God, I'm giving you my anger. I'm giving you my pride. I'm giving you my selfishness. It's always been about me. And God, I want it to be about you. I wonder if we just got real. I'm calling you to do something different, to be real with God. Say, God, I give it to you. I want to reflect your holiness. I don't want to keep going down this path. I want to pull those things out of my bag. And I want you to fill me with your love, with your kindness, with your joy, with your gentleness, with your direction. And see, what happens is he gives us purpose instead of wandering. He gives us direction instead of floundering around and wondering which thing's going to hit us next. I say, God, I want your purpose. Examine your life this morning. Stop for a moment. I'm going to have a stand. Stand to your feet. And as you stand up, I just want you to close your eyes for a moment and just examine your life. What area needs to come under God's control? What area have you pulled away and shoved stuff in the bag to cover up some things and that you need to just open up and say, God, I give it to you. I wonder if you would commit. You don't have to verbalize it to me, but you verbalize it to him.